Hey everyone, and welcome back to season two of Barry's Garage Podcast. Today, Trazer co-founder Mary Ellen French and her son Barry French Jr., as you know from season one, is going to be honoring Barry French Sr. today by discussing Trazer's past, present, and future as we approach the second year since his passing. So Mary Ellen is a new guest to Barry's Garage Podcast. Please take a moment to introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Mary Ellen, also known as Mare. And my husband was an inventor. He didn't start off being an inventor, but he evolved into an inventor. And he went through several different technologies before coming up with the Trazer technology, and it's evolved and become something that we think is really meaningful.
I love that. That's awesome. And I think, Mary Ellen, we are most excited to have you on today just to learn more about the history and the evolution. And, you know, everyone has always said that Barry Sr. was ahead of his time. And I think that's going to be awesome to share that with the audience today. And before we kick that off, Barry, say hi to everyone. It's been a minute.
No, I appreciate it, Courtney. Thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to be back. I have Barry's podcast, Barry's Garage, I should say, back online. I'm excited to have, I hate to say it, my mother on the podcast. And it's, you know, I had an incredibly unique upbringing, and we've alluded to this in some of the past podcasts, but the upbringing that I had has really given me the ability and the passion and the drive and the love for doing what we do today. So I'm excited to discuss some of what led to that and what led to Trazer getting to this point, why we have the passion we do for changing lives, and to discuss, you know, what a really significant entrepreneurial path looks like and true entrepreneurship looks like. So I appreciate it, Court, and really excited to talk to Mare. As I call her, Mouse, by the way, and most people that love her will call her Mouse, but I'm really excited to have this conversation with her and with the, you know, those that are listening to this podcast, Courtney. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. And what you had touched on, you said the word passion, and I think, you know, when I came on with Trazer, the big thing was bringing that passion into everything we do. And even just in this past year, I've just seen that passion evolve into, you know, what Trazer has just become in a short period of time. And so I think a great way to kick this off, you know, whatever you guys think would be perfect here, but Mary Ellen, you know, you went through all of these phases with him, with the innovation, with the ideas, with the, you know, the tinkering. So I think the first question I have is, where did that passion and energy come from?
Well, Barry Sr. was a really, really fine athlete. And his records for shot and discus, really, well, for discus have not been broken in the last 55 years at Rocky River High School. And his shot record was broken, but they used a lighter weight shot. So I don't know if that really counts.
That doesn't count.
He used to have people take high-speed film of him back in the 60s to study his technique. And he wasn't very big for the events that he competed in, but he worked on his form and perfecting his form, that kinematics, over and over and over again so that he could compete at the level that he did. So he had just a really curious mind, I think, and he loved the work. He loved to work out. He got involved in martial arts when he was about 16 or 17 and ended up, that was his lifelong passion, was the study of technique and generation of power. And he fought on Algene Corolla's fighting team. And he just loved every aspect of physicality, of being the best that you could be in sport and athletics. So he told me when we first started dating that he thought he was put on this earth to do something special, but he didn't really know what it was. And so he ended up in sales because he was a great personality, a great people person. And our boys are blessed with that gift, I think. And he did very, very well. So, but he wasn't satisfied. So we started in martial arts, in competition, there are three ring judges. and 2 out of 3 have to agree on a technique. So he wanted to develop a scoring system that supported the judges' decisions. And we hooked up with a company out of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, and did a lot of research there and in Scotland. They were the Western Hemisphere licensee for piezoelectric film. And they saw our application as being very visible. To date, only hydrophones, which are like submarine telephones, and Gibson guitar pickups had used piezoelectric film, and they wanted to get the word out to other researchers as far as the film and its capabilities. So we had a lot of fun with that project, and Barry kept his job for about 3/4 of the research. And then finally, he thought that he wasn't able to give his employer his full attention. So he quit his job, and we did martial arts equipment full time. But what we didn't take into account was at the time, gyms and or dojos and boxing gyms couldn't afford towels, much as less technology. So we did very well with it. And Chuck Norris was our representative, and we sold through Century Martial Arts and that sort of thing. But basically, that evolved into the next project, which was a force platform project. So
let me allude to something real quickly on that front, because it's amazing how the brain works and the recollection that we have as kids or even as adults of the experiences that we've had throughout our lives. And so for me as a kid, the things that I remember most though are being able to take technology and objectively measure human health and performance, or performance for that matter in this particular case. So objective measurement constructs, my dad always said, Barry Sr. always said, if you can't measure, you can't improve. And that's been around, that slogan, for a long time, but we've really embraced that. And so if you can't measure, you can't improve. And if the data is not actionable, then it's worthless. And that holds, both those theories or both those philosophies, in my opinion, hold truer today than they ever have. If it's not objective data and it's not actionable, then I'm not sure what you do with it. And I think that's a real issue that we're dealing with within healthcare and performance today, that there's a lot of technologies that measure, but they don't provide actual insights in regards to what that data actually means and what to do next for that end user, for example, in this case. And so that premise that philosophy that Barry Sr. and Mary Ellen had since the time that, actually before I was probably born, it's resonated with me my entire life, which is really cool. And that's certainly a fundamental component of what we do with Trazer, as I think that you know, Court.
No, that's awesome. And, I think it's always exciting to share more of this story, even with our audience too, and kind of going back in time of, like we said, it was that passion, it was that vision, him being a true entrepreneur, a true visionary, and just wanting to, move human health and performance forward, like we've talked about. And so Mary Ellen, I'm curious too, and I'm sure other people are. So this vision that he had and starting, with the martial arts and being an athlete, how would you say, as you two grew together, as Trazer evolved, how would you say that initial vision changed as he tinkered and as you guys, again, just made Trazer is what it is now?
Well, the piezoelectric film ended up, one of the applications in martial arts was to wrap a band around a heavy bag, and we looked at the shock wave through the heavy bag. Well, when we sold off that technology, we were looking at force platforms tracking human movement. So we collapsed the heavy bag and made it into a 3/8 inch thick round disc that was about 2 feet in diameter, and wrapped piezoelectric film around the perimeter of that in order to capture eccentric, concentric phases of movement. And force platforms are really, really expensive, but our force platform was very accurate and not very expensive. So we could embed 20 of them in a big field and then watch human movement across this huge field. And a company called Cybex International ended up licensing that technology from us and putting it into production. And that was our first rendezvous with the Disney company. And we installed the first Cybex reactor, it was called, at Celebration Health in the gym there, the fitness center. And it was very well received and sold all over the world. So that was a really fun project.
And, you know, Courtney, just to add to that, like, you know, and this is again where, you know, our memories come in as far as when we're young kids and the experiences that we've had or I've had to, again, get us to the point or the point that I'm at today is that, you know, as a kid, my father and my mother, they never wanted to leave us at home, which I think is the greatest blessing of all time. But I don't know if our school at the time thought it was a great blessing. And so, my brother and I'll never forget this. I was in seventh grade. My brother, Neil, who turned out to do very well for himself and play pro sports and runs a medical diagnostic company today. And you'll understand where I'm going with this in a second. He was in fifth grade, and the two of us went 16 times in 1 year to Disney World when we're in fifth and seventh grade. And it was an incredible time, as you can imagine. That's the place we've met more of our current Trazer family than I can imagine. The Dr. Mike Voigt of the world out of Vanderbilt and Belmont. The Dr. Gary Wilkerson's out of UT Chattanooga, one of the preeminent researchers in the space. I was able to meet those individuals when I was a very young, you know, kid, really. And by going to Disney 16 times in 1 year, but our Bay Village High School or Bay Village Middle School, I should say, they weren't so impressed by us missing as many days as we did. And so I remember coming home from one of the Disney trips, getting a letter from Bay Middle School saying that if your kids miss another day of school, they're gonna be held back a year. And in fifth and seventh grade, even my brother and I didn't have many issues with grades. We did relatively well. But they still said that your kids have missed 72 days of school in 1 year. And if they miss another day, you're gonna be held back. But I'll tell you, Court, from my personal experience, right? Or from my personal perspective, it was the most incredible experience you could ever ask for as a kid. It drove my entrepreneurial passions that I have today. And the experiences I garnered from being with those types of individuals, those types of people, in those types of situations, as young as we were instrumental and impactful in everything I do day in and day out today. So it's really amazing to have that opportunity. And I don't know if Mary Ellen and Barry Sr. realized how impactful it would be later in life. But I believe that it added an enormous amount of value to both my brother and I's lives. And so it's something to think about for those listening to this podcast. What really does matter? And it's not that school's not important. Of course it is. It's critical and it's really important. But if you can expose, the more exposure that you have, the bigger your box becomes. And that box, as it expands, allows you to do things that can help more and more people from my perspective in this world. So that was a great blessing that we had starting off very early in life.
I think that's just so unique, right? Because how many kids can say, hey, I got to miss all of this school and like no big deal. Oh gosh. And I'm sure, you know, people listening too, just having that perspective of, you know, having that dream and that vision and making it, you know, so involved with the family. And I think one of the biggest things that I realized when I came in and started and joined the Trazer family, it is a family. It is, you know, it's your family that kicked things off, but everyone on our team just believes in the original vision of Barry Sr., believes in, you know, everything that's gone on. And again, like you said, impact. I think impact is huge. And the more lives that we can touch, you know, it just furthers his legacy. And so when you had said impact, you had also talked about some of these researchers and different people that you got to meet and that you've had that relationship with for so long. So Mary Ellen and or Barry, you know, I'm curious to see your perspective on this, but when people started getting familiar with Trazer and researching it, what was that initial reaction?
Well, Tracer evolved from the reactor product. So we had licensed it to Cybex, as I mentioned. And the one weakness in that product was that we didn't know what the person was doing from the time that they left one pod till they got to the next pod. So Barry was looking for a way of tracking movement in real time, full time. And this was when Atari was state of the art. I mean, it was 1996. So we cobbled together parts from a bunch of other technologies, and we used Hamamatsu position sensing detectors to triangulate on infrared light. And you had to wear a what we called a beacon on your waist. The first ones weighed about 3 or 4 pounds. And it was great because we could tell very accurately, and Mike Voigt was one of the researchers that tested the accuracy of that technology to within an eighth of an inch. We knew where you were in free space 100% of the time. So we could do interactive gaming with that tracking system. And that was the very first Tracer that they cost $30,000 to build a piece. And they were about the size of a small Volkswagen.
Volkswagen of Tracers.
Barry was the only one that was strong enough. By then he was in high school and early college years. He was the only one that was strong enough to be able to install one. So all his vacations were spent traveling everywhere to install Tracers in YMCAs and physical therapy clinics. But anyway, gradually that became more miniaturized as technology evolved. We were able to take advantage of it and to continue to recreate, reinvent the hardware and gradually the software.
Yeah, and so Cord, I'm just gonna, I'll add to that, because one of my favorite stories from Dr. Mike Voigt, who's leading clinician and researcher in biomechanics, et cetera, out of Vanderbilt Belmont, Dr. Burns Hip Clinic. He tells me a story all the time. The first time that he had met Barry Sr. and Mary Ellen, and he said that, here dad comes with this vertical leap platform, this force platform. And he goes, he tells me he can take this little piece of rubber, circular piece of rubber, as Mary Ellen said, about 2 feet in diameter, about 3/4 of an inch, half an inch thick, with this piezoelectric film around it. He tells me that it can tell you your vertical leap. And it never had been done before. And he goes, I've got to be honest, he's completely full of crap. There's no way that this thing is going to, that I can't fool this device, or I can't cheat this device, or it's going to actually give me an accurate output in regards to my vertical leap, or first force output for that matter. It did both. And so Mike does a brilliant job of telling the story far better than myself, but Mike said he gets on there, and the audience hopefully can visualize this. And here's Dr. Mike Voigt, and he's jumping. He said, Barry, I was pulling my knees up into my chest as high as I could, and I'm trying to dance around and trying to jump like an idiot just so I can see if it's really going to accurately tell me my vertical leap, for example, in this case. And he goes, Barry, I couldn't fool it. And it was the first time I realized your dad was a genius. And he's being very serious. And he really was. He was a genius in his own right. And what was really cool about Barry Sr. and Mike's story alludes to this is that genius is defined in so many different ways. But the passion that he had for providing technologies along these lines that can change the human health of individuals throughout the world. He said, I'm here for something more than myself. That is my number one philosophy. I'm here for something more or bigger than myself. And I think that our whole Tracer family believes that. But his ability to take that thought process and then turn it into something that literally would give incredibly important data back in an actual fashion to people 20, 15, 20, 30 years ahead of its time was really remarkable. And so I'll fast forward just for a second, if it's okay, to go to Dr. Onati from Ohio State. And I know Craig's on mute here, but Dr. Onati and William White. So William White, for those that don't know, is somebody I call my big brother, his family to us, as the Tracer family and the French family. William was a four-year All-American from 1982 to 86 at Ohio State, then played 12 years at NFL ball. And my dad happened to have a really random encounter on a plane with him, and he became our family. And he's an investor currently. He's also a board member. But I remember William talking about the fact that, excuse me, I just need a sip of water. But I remember William going down the path of, we need to get to Dr. Onati, who is a leading researcher at Ohio State. So William and I went down several years ago and met with Dr. Onati and a couple of his staff. And James, I started talking about neuromechanics. And neuromechanics is a really important piece of what we do with Tracer today, for those that do not know. But it's about the ability to look at both the brain, cognitive function, and the body, musculoskeletal or physiological function, and combine the two through brain exercises and movement simultaneously, and how well aligned are the brain and body. And so Dr. Onati says, Barry, how the heck do you know what neuromechanics is? And I sort of giggled a little bit internally, but I said, well, I spent a lot of time with Dr. Gary Wilkerson, who's one of the gentlemen that I met, Courtney, as I alluded to, when I was a young kid, for other technologies that the family had developed. And I said, but my father's been talking about this for 20, 30 years, literally. And he didn't just giggle. He laughed at me like I was out of my damn mind, probably for good reason, because that doesn't happen typically when you're having these conversations. It's really a true statement. And so we finished up the presentation on the tech and go back about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks later. And he had 10 of the top researchers and clinicians from the Ohio State University in the room with us. And he says, and we start talking, he said, before anybody says another word, I need to tell you. He goes, I asked Barry about 4 weeks ago how he knew about neuromechanics. And he told me that his father had been talking about this for 15 to 20 years or more. And he goes, I got to tell you guys, I just went and did my own due diligence, my own research on YouTube. And here we are as a bunch of, you know, world expert, quote unquote, and he was very humble about this, researchers thinking we know it all. But we've been talking about this for a couple of years, and his father literally was talking about this 25 years ago, and I saw it firsthand on YouTube. And so it's really amazing to see that, or to hear that from, you know, as you can imagine, from a perspective of a son, it was really cool to hear. But it's just also the reality. And it was a tough reality at times, because there's a lot of reasons why you don't necessarily want to be first to the game in certain areas, unless you have incredible ability to persevere and to continuously have the passion and belief systems to that you can change the game for for the human race. You're not going to make it being that far ahead of the time, but I give my father, my mother, our team here, the Tracer family and such, an enormous amount of credit for the perseverance and the belief that, you were 25 years ahead of the time, but as technology evolved, as Marianne alluded to, as other people's technology evolved, it allowed us to evolve to the point we're at today, where we can really, truly change a lot of lives on a large scale for a very little bit amount of money, because it's all about scalability, and we want to be able to affect the most people possible, and we've been able to do that, and that's where we're at today.
So much history, and it's so good to, like, again, from my perspective, being newer, it's just so cool to hear these stories and learn more. And as we share that with the audience too, I think we've, you know, grown so much in a short amount of time that people love hearing this. And the more that they hear, the more they're curious about. And one thing that I think would be kind of cool to bring up is, you know, Mary Ellen, what would you say was that first big break or big breakthrough when it comes to, you know, the entrepreneurial world? Because, you know, we haven't even scratched the surface of like Oprah or the Surgeon General or like Arnold Classic or some of these big athletes. But what would you say was that first big opportunity that it's like, we are showing this to the world?
Well, I have to go back to the Disney company. We had our own playground at Epcot called Tom Morrow's Playland for 4 years. And once Tracer became not just hand-built, but a commercial product, then it was no longer a candidate for Epcot. their technologies are pretty much prototypes, but we were in Walt's living room of the future. We had our own physical therapy area called Utopia, Y-O-U-T-O-P-I-A, for your perfect place, on the top floor of Celebration Health Hospital. And the Disney company helped us to create characters that represented all the different movement constructs that we measure. And they were very, they were a wonderful, wonderful team to work with. We learned a lot working with them. And that creative passion that we had, they appreciated and met us with it. So I think that that gave us a big boost. We had the reactor product, as I mentioned there, but then we also had the very first tracers there. So we were on Oprah, as you mentioned. I think it was 2001. Yeah. And it was great because our phone lines were shut down for 3 days with people calling to find out how they could get tracer. But, you know, when we told them it was $30,000 a piece.
Hand built,
right. Yeah. And it would fill your living room. It was sort of a non-starter, but we knew we were on the right path to something that pleased people. And Barry, my husband Barry's concept was, he saw kids sitting on the couch playing Nintendo. Our kids were not allowed to have Nintendo, but playing Nintendo, and the incidence of childhood obesity was rising and rising and rising. And so that was the first inspiration. He wanted to create something that would get kids off the couch and playing with their whole bodies. So that was what he set out to do. And then it evolved into other applications and broader populations. And, you know, we are where we are today.
That's really cool. Barry, do you have any perspective on that too? Especially like growing up in the midst of all of that. You know, again, yeah. No Nintendo, that's all right. That's all right. But, you know, like what was your take on some of this?
Audience might actually very much enjoy. and now my father's out here to slap me in the back of the head, which he never would have done, by the way. But he did at some point. I believe I was in seventh grade again, and my brother was in fifth grade, or maybe like I think about right. And he finally broke down and said, "Okay, there was no TV in our house, Courtney. There was no Nintendo, as Mary Ellen alluded to. We played six sports a season. We, you know, built tree forts. We dug holes. We're just your typical crazy, wild, crazy boys." But we still felt left out from the rest of our friends that we did not have Nintendo. And so he broke down and bought us one. But there's a 15-minute a day time limit. And for anybody, you know, that's listening in, and Court, you're definitely too young to remember this, but I know Craig does. Anybody that ever played a Nintendo, you couldn't turn those pieces of junk on in 15 minutes. You had to blow into games, bang on the top of them. It was a real pain in the butt, right? They didn't always work real well. And so 15 minutes was not enough time to even start up Super, you know, Mario Brothers or Contra or whatever we were going to play. But I think my mom felt probably a little bad for us that we didn't have your typical childhood or upbringing. And she, but I remember my dad going to a meeting. We started playing when he left, and we were still playing 2 hours later when he got home. She allowed us to do that, and he picked up our Nintendo and smashed it into the brick fireplace into a billion pieces. And we were crying our eyes out like he just ruined our lives. He was laughing so hard I think he almost peed his pants. And it was really, it's one, we still, my brother and I still laugh about this today, Court. And I think this is a real lesson, honestly, for the audience, with where technology's gone, with what iPads, iPhones, kids on phones, what it's doing to our brains, what it's doing to our bodies. There are going to be long-term ramifications. And he saw that, again, way ahead of the time. And so when he smashed for Nintendo, he thought it was funny. We didn't. But we thanked him for the next 20 plus years that he did do that. And he goes, "To be honest, you guys go out and play every sport. You go out and kill each other. You go out and play tackle football in the front yard in the driveway. I don't care, but you're not going to sit on your butts playing Nintendo all day." And I think that holds more true today than it did then.
because of how we are bombarded with technology and how we're tied to our technology to the point where it is creating definitive health issues within our youth, but also our adult society. And that's where Trazer comes in a big way. It allows us to gamify activity and gamify health and wellness, quantify it, provide better outcome measures, and to really assist society with overcoming some of the sedentary aspects of what they deal with day in and day out, but making it fun, interactive, and engaging simultaneously to improving their overall health and wellness, if that makes some sense, Court.
Definitely makes sense. And I think a great question to almost wrap up with when we're talking about this is, Barry and Mary Ellen both, I'd love to hear your perspective, is when you think of the future of Trazer, whether that's this year or the next 5 years, the next 10 years, what do you see and what do you want to see?
Yeah, I'll kick it off, Gordon. I look at it as being ubiquitous, right? So we talk like this year, some of our themes are simplicity. We want that five-year-old that doesn't understand technology very well quite yet. But by the way, five-year-olds are more sophisticated than most 30-year-olds, I think, at this point. Or that 85-year-old, more importantly, probably, Courtney, in regards to fall mitigation, fall prevention, fall risk assessments, who really doesn't know how to use technology, doesn't know how to use a cell phone, to be able to utilize Trazer, right? And utilize Trazer for what really matters. And that, for that 85-year-old, is to ensure that they understand what their fall risk is and ensure they can mitigate that. And so when I say Trazer being ubiquitous, that's really what my dream is to see Trazer across the B2B space, the business to business, and our core markets, as you know today, Courtney, really are that sports medicine space, working with some of the best athletes in the world, but having a trickle down into the 40 plus million youth athletes that really need Trazer to look at musculoskeletal issues, concussion, performance, et cetera. It's the pro athlete, it's middle-aged people that, like, just like any other technology or any other workout modality, they can improve their wellness and can quantify their musculoskeletal risk of ACL injuries, ankle injuries, hip injuries. It's then that senior population. This is, to me, one of my most passionate areas now. I always say military is one, and the senior population, because it's life or death, right? It's not just a football game. It's not just, and not that it's just a football game, as we all know, but it's not just a sport, it's life. And if a senior falls and breaks a hip, we all know what happens. They don't make it very long. That's where Trazer can provide an inordinate amount of value to that population. And so as we scale the technology and we scale our team, our Trazer family, I think that's what we're going to see. It's the connectivity that Trazer can bring to the world and to the patient or the end user, to the clinician, the performance coach, to the organization, the head coach of Alabama, Georgia, it doesn't matter. But we can connect people and connect them through their wellness and their healthcare with better data and better ability to track and to quantify, for example, in regards to where they stand in today's world and how they get better.
I'd like to just interject there. Barry used the word connect, and that was his dad's buzzword. So his whole concept, especially in the last year of his life, was that Trazer was going to be a vehicle to connect every aspect of life from childhood through senior at every different level. So as technology becomes more and more powerful, the cameras in your phones are getting more powerful and more 3D, we'll be able to have a Trazer app, perhaps, that you can put on your phone and plug it into your big screen TV, and the hardware aspect of it will vanish and go away, and everybody will be able to have the app and do their morning workout on Trazer, do their play their afternoon games, do their schoolwork on Trazer. Kinesthetic learning is a huge aspect of Trazer. So I think that connectivity, connecting all of humankind, is one of the paths that we'd like to follow.
I love that. I love that. And I think that gives, you know, our listeners here today something to really look forward to. And obviously our team looks forward to it every day. Every day we are one step closer to getting to that next vision. And obviously that will continue to evolve. And, you know, when you're saying connect, we're connecting communities, we're connecting families, we're connecting, you know, we're global. So I think that is just going to be something really special. And yeah, with that, I would just like to thank everyone for tuning in. Like I said, welcome back to season two. So be part of our story. You know, our team is going to continue to further Barry Senior's legacy in 2022. We're really looking forward to being here next year in 2023 and looking back on what was accomplished in 22 and just continue to keep moving forward every year. So thank you everyone for joining us today and stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you.
Thank you.